Hey everyone, before we start our conversation with Thomas Chester, I wanted to let you know a couple important things. Number one, this is part one of a two-part series. We're going to talk again with Thomas about a materials library that you can download and use, and it's really slick. And we're also going to talk about PCEA, the Printed Circuit Engineering Association, which you could join for nothing and plug into some of the industry's top experts and also your peers. So make sure you come back next week and listen to part two. Other thing I wanted to let you know is Ultimate Designer 21 is out. So I want to give that a plug, and I'll make sure I'll put that in the show notes below. So let's get started with Thomas Chester.
Welcome to Altium's On Track podcast, where we talk to leaders about PCB design, tackling subjects ranging from schematic capture all the way to the manufacturing floor. I'm your host, Judy Warner. Please listen in every week and subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all your favorite podcast apps. And be sure to check out the show notes at altium.com/podcast, where you can find great resources and multiple ways to connect with us on social media.
Well, hey, Thomas, how are you? So glad to have you on the podcast today.
I'm doing great. Thank you very much for having me on today.
So I understand that you hail from Guelph, Ontario, Canada. Whereabouts is that?
So that's about an hour outside of Toronto, up in the Great White North. It's a little bit snowy outside at the moment, so a little bit jealous of your weather in California.
Yeah, it's unseasonably lovely here right now, but that's why we pay all the high taxes here, I suppose, and expensive housing. But, again, appreciate you joining us today. And it's been really fun getting to know you through our development team and the different activities that you're doing really voluntarily, but it seems like you're doing more and more with us. And the first way we got to know you was your activity through just our forums here on the Altium website. And so I thought it'd be valuable to some of our Altium listeners to talk about just forums in general, the Altium forum and many others. It seems like, you know, the anonymity of engaging on social media, it can be pretty harsh. So, you know, but you were really contributing in a really positive, meaningful way, but being really honest too. So can you tell us a little bit about that journey and what motivated you to do that?
Sure. So it all went and started actually at one of my previous employers. I was working a lot, helping out the other junior engineers and even some of the senior engineers on the team. As happens in any kind of design, you run into some difficulties with either the design tool you're using, or maybe trying to understand some of the knowledge or how to implement something. And from the experience that I had there, I quickly realized that there's obviously not just this located inside the company, there's also going to be a problem for other people out there as well. And for those people who maybe don't have access to somebody who's as knowledgeable or who has as much experience with the tool, they don't have maybe a mentor or somebody they can pull on, how are they going to get assistance? So I quickly jumped into the forum and had a look around and realized that there was an opportunity for me to kind of help out there. And, you know, as you already covered, social media, Twitter, or even forums in general, because we're all sitting behind a keyboard, sometimes the way we write and the way we read things, there's no ability to understand the body language or the tone that comes with it. And so trying to take a lot of the questions and the details that were being posted on the forum at face value and saying, these people are trying to figure out how to solve a problem. So how do I help you reach that goal? And not just, here's the solution, there you go, it's finished, you're good to go. But why? What's all the other information that goes into that and interesting parts of the tool that I've learned through spending so many hours in it?
Well, I think that I really appreciate, one, because you look at things sort of holistically, which I appreciate. But I also think it sounds like that might be your learning style. It is also my learning style. If I know context, I grasp something so much easier and I can run with it when I don't understand what the context is. So how do you serve up that context in something like a forum post?
So I think one of the best examples, and I'll use it, was somebody was asking how to do a copper pour on their board. And you could quite easily just go and say, oh yeah, you throw a polygon down, here's how you access it. But the important thing to know is there's multiple ways of doing that, not only just accessing polygon pores within Altium in general, but there's also other features that can do similar tasks. You can go and do a large copper fill, or you can use a copper region, or you can use a copper polygon, and they each have their own strengths and weaknesses. And providing that information back with context on how each of those different sections work and why they're strong in areas and why they're weak in other areas means that rather than, you know, maybe my design approach and how I function is different from how somebody else functions, it gives them not only the tools, but the options and the knowledge to understand the tool better to meet their requirements and their design style.
Well, for our listeners, I want to say right here that throughout the conversation that Thomas and I have today, I'm going to be putting a ton of links below that Thomas and I have already talked about ahead of time that will help you grasp some of the things he's talking about. And I just wanted to give you a heads up that this is going to be a really resource-filled podcast. So when you're done listening, please jump over to the show notes and we'll have a lot of great links for you there. From that forum experience, I think that you sort of caught the attention, correct me if I'm wrong, of our development team who is also in those forums every day. And they saw that you were really providing a great resource and really contributing, you know, and helping. But I think they also understood that you really understood the way, say, they put the different features like that together, you know, how you could accomplish that in different ways, and they appreciated it. And then you got a call one day, an email. It sounds like our development team reached out to you. Tell us about that and tell us about how that led ultimately to you becoming one of our Altium Designer beta users.
Sure. So I was doing a fair amount of messaging and trying to help out in the forums. I then got a direct email from your R&D team that was asking to have a conversation. So I ended up having a conversation with a couple of your R&D team members on Zoom. From there, there was an invitation given to come down to your headquarters in San Diego to meet the team in person and to spend a couple of days going over how I go about using the Altium tool and Altium Designer, the kind of the features and the areas that I'm looking at and utilize on a daily basis, how I access or do things maybe differently, but also then to see what your R&D team had planned and maybe talk about some of the features that I felt were missing or could be improved or added into Altium Designer that could go into the new versions coming up in subsequent years.
What do you think, how did you feel when you got that email, and what was your sense about when you did meet with them, you know, sort of what that was about, and just tell us your reaction to that and your experience.
I was definitely surprised. I was also very honored to be like reached out and asked kind of those kind of questions. Coming down and meeting the team was a great experience, very warming. Everybody's very friendly, but also very interesting to understand, you know, within your team, you obviously have a lot of developers and people who are working on the software and who are trying to enact various features and tools within Altium Designer, but they may not be PCB designers. Exactly. And so while they are getting a lot of content and information on how to do something, they may not necessarily understand the why. And so being able to reach, you know, you do have a couple of designers in-house, so you can leverage them, but then also being able to access and leverage other designers in the industry to see what's going on and what's happening, which ultimately led to getting an invite from your team to become a beta user.
So tell us about that journey.
So after meeting the team, came back, there was a couple of continued conversations. And then same kind of thing, your R&D team reached out when it said, you know, you obviously understand how the tool operates. You have a good grasp of PCB design. We'd like to invite you into using the beta versions of the tool before they're publicly available. But there's also a lot of knowledge and information you need to understand about what the beta versions are and how you should be utilizing and how you should not be utilizing them.
So you've been at this beta thing for a little while now, but you know, most recently to our listeners, if I'm sure you're aware, I'm sure we've sent you emails and whatnot, that All Team Designer 21 is now publicly available. It's gone through all the stages, including people like Thomas, and you know, kick the tires as much as we could, and that is now available. So I'll throw that link below also. But what was that process like around, say, All Team Designer 21? And you and I were talking the other day about you sort of experiencing this reality that, you know, you may put in a new feature that creates another problem over here. So can you talk about what that was like, you know, throughout your experience, particularly with AD21, All Team Designer 21?
Right. Yeah, so I've had access to All Team 21 for a few months longer than everybody else has. But that also goes back to when you download and install All Team 21, you notice that it's not version zero. It's already at version like 0.08. And that's because it's already gone through the hands of a few of us in the beta test group. And it ends up being a little bit of a game of whack-a-mole in some senses. There's a lot of new features that you've been adding in. Maybe in beta one, it's kind of an introduction of these features. Please test them out, see what you think, give us some feedback on them, but understand that they may not be fully functional. You then get access to maybe like a beta two or a beta three, where these features start to actually get pushed out and actually tested. But as with any complex software tool, or you know, whether it's Altium Designer or any other software database or coding system or operating system that's running, there's a lot of interdependencies. And so when you go and take and you're designing this great new feature over here, it's referencing all of this foundation that you've built into Altium. Mm-hmm. But the problem is this new feature requires some of the information that's sitting over here. And when you suddenly change it, a lot of other things that already existed and were working, maybe now they don't anymore. I know recently with Altium 21, there was a couple changes where when you started doing multi-panel designs, mm-hmm. your designators in your silkscreen would exist on your first board, but in any of the duplicated boards, they would go missing. Because obviously something somewhere had got tagged and changed. And so as a result, you obviously can't release something like that. And beta users are trying to find all of these issues. So we give a detailed log, a description of what happened, where we think the issue is, but also how we've managed to produce these steps, and then pass that back into the team so that a ticket can be logged and you can go back into the software and see what's happening and what's occurred for this unintended regression or change or accident to occur.
Yeah, and some of our developers have taught me that, something I didn't understand. I've never been involved in software development. It's really made me appreciate how challenging it is. And we really appreciate people like you, Thomas, which is why I wanted, you know, it's here I am, host of the podcast. I'm wearing my Altium shirt. It's easy to see like, well, you have to say nice things about Altium because, you know, you're carrying their flag. And that is true. But I sincerely have really come to appreciate the challenge and also the cadence at which we do a yearly release is no small feat. It's really, really hard work. And so I've really, really come to appreciate these guys and appreciate people like you who, you know, try to break it before it goes to market. The thing that I also learned about you is sometimes you can get on those forums and they can be negative, or you know, just because people, everybody's innocent, as I like to say, but you know, if you're using the tool and something's not working and it's frustrating, and it's, again, there's some anonymity there. So it's easy for a kind of frustration to reign supreme there because you're hiding behind a keyboard, as you said. But there is also people like you that are actually trying to help be part of the solution and not just the problem. But I'm asking this absolutely sincerely, non-scripted. Like, do you think Altium is listening to their customers? And how does that show up for you? As I mean, you have a design company and you're a user, you know, you've sort of stepped into this role where you're engaged with us, but how does that listening show up, I guess, in ways that have been meaningful to you or observations you've had throughout the process?
I definitely go and say that you guys do listen. I think sometimes it can be hard to see that. And especially as you said, you know, a lot of engineers and designers and other people in the industry, you know, one of the biggest things we're always up against is a timeline and a time frame. And this needs to get done, and it needs to get done by this date. And then it needs to get out the door, and it needs to get to the customer or to the application or the use case. And so, yes, the frustration obviously comes out when you're struggling and things aren't working the way you want to. I know there's a lot of activity in the beta forum, and a lot of that back and forth is also in the requirements, how we're supposed to interact with your team. And I feel that maybe some of that would be easier if that transitioned over into the main forum as well. One of the biggest things, if you're running into a problem, it's like if you've got a broken car. If you go to the mechanic and you just say, my car doesn't work, well, you need to narrow down the issue a little bit more. Is it the engine the problem? Is it the brakes that are a problem? Do you have a flat tire? And so in a similar manner with, you know, within the Altium forum, if you're running into an issue, provide details, you know, whether or not it's just here's a step-by-step guide. If I do this, I do this, I do this, and then this happens, and I don't understand, so that either other users can try and assist you, or even Altium R&D team or other social media people who are helping out can assist you. And to that end, you can also use some additional tools. Can you go one step further? Can you provide images of what you're trying to do, screen captures, either with like a snipping tool or like GreenShot, or there is a snipping tool in Windows? Or can you go even better? Can you do a screen recording? There's a couple of different softwares out there, like Open Broadcast Software, OBS, or XSplit, that allows you to record your screen, save a copy, and then you can push that up as well so that we can see what you're doing to try and help you. Getting back to your question, does Altium listen? Yes, and I think you have to look at it as a much broader question as well. Do you listen on the forums? Do you listen in the beta groups? You do. There could be more of a presence within the forums, but there's also a lot of other work that you do outside the forums. You put on a great training session series with Altium Live. You have your On Track podcast, which we're doing right now. There's a lot of other input and feedback that you get that you also then push back out to everybody who uses Altium, and even those people that don't, to learn from industry experts or tool utilizers, so they can not only become better designers, but also better people within what they're trying to accomplish.
Well, thank you. I appreciate your, and we really, I'm telling you, me and everyone that are on teams around the podcast, the industry leaders that have the privilege of working with Altium Live, we all love it. We love it. Because we feel like we're doing something good, not only for Altium, not only for our users, but also for the industry. And we really love that. And we love our theme of learn, connect, get inspired. And, you know, along the lines that we're talking right now is I try to tell my internal team, you know, I feel the number one felt need of design engineers today is education, right? Not principles and tools, you know, and I love doing it. You mentioned that maybe some of those conversations would be useful in the beta conversations would be useful in the open forums. Is there any other way that you can imagine that, you know, Altium or companies like Altium actually can listen better?
Um, I think you can definitely increase your presence within your forums. I think you already, you know, you're definitely doing a much better job than I'd say a lot of other companies within the design tool space. Mm-hmm. You've obviously got areas where you can go for training and tools, but also not just the forums. You've got, you know, content on YouTube on a couple of different channels. You have a couple of training manuals, which are for some of the older versions, but you know, some of those tools are still relevant that are freely available online. You can also look at taking some of the Altium training courses. And there are both options for a do-it-yourself kind of video series that you progress as fast or as slow as you'd like to yourself. Or you can jump into a class, and whether it's a virtual class, and I know with COVID, a lot of us are doing the virtual thing right now. And when that ends, there are also going to be options for in-person training opportunities.
Right. Well, that's a perfect segue to talk about another way you've gotten, I think we're going to have to put you on the payroll soon, Thomas, you know, besides your day job, you know, that you're spending some of your own personal time doing these things. But you have now decided to become an Altium certified instructor. So tell us about, you know, how you got there and what that's going to entail as you go forward.
Sure. So with a lot of the engagement and the back and forth on the beta forums, and knowing a couple of your R&D team members, having met them personally, you guys transitioned back in 2020 to having a virtual Altium Live, and you put a lot of content and did a lot of work utilizing Discord. And so seeing some of the familiar names there, I kind of reached out, asked how they were doing, talked about some of the features that I knew they'd been working on when I'd met them in person, mm-hmm. back in 2019. But then also just to try and catch up, understand what else is going on, what else they're looking at. And through some of those conversations, an opportunity came up to kind of push forward and assist you guys by becoming a trainer. So from there, I've had bounced around to a couple other people who I've had conversations with. You've obviously got different departments who manage different things. Mm-hmm. So with that, I then walked through your two training courses, your essentials and your advanced course, just to ensure that, like, do I understand everything in the tool? Am I actually accessing everything in the tool? And there were a couple of new sections that I knew of, but hadn't really spent any time in. Mm-hmm. And so learning about those and utilizing those quickly. And then I did a shadowing of a live training event back in December to see how the training was done. And then the plan is that I'm going to be doing a training event at the end of January.
Is that going to be, obviously during COVID, it's going to be a virtual training then, Thomas?
Of course. Yeah, it's a virtual training event.
Very cool. Well, this is another, again, you and I were just chatting about this, but this is another area for our listeners. If you haven't tapped into it already, you know, we have a bunch of on-demand training. There's a bunch of on-demand webinars. The two trainings that Thomas talked about, all those links are going to be in the show notes. So check it out when you have a minute. You know, there's two, I haven't been, you know, super closely involved in the training aspect of our business, but I know there's two main training sessions. One is Altium Designers Essentials, and then there's the advanced courses. Can you share with our listeners what the difference are between those two trainings that you completed?
Sure. So the essentials goes into details for somebody who maybe either is brand new to PCB design, so maybe like a new grad or somebody who's decided to come into this industry, or maybe, you know, an engineer who's now having to learn the PCB side, or a designer who's needing to learn the schematic side of the tool. Mm-hmm. It could also be for somebody who's transitioning from a different tool and then maybe hasn't used Altium ever before. Mm-hmm. So it goes into a lot more of the basics of the understanding, the different how Altium functions in terms of its structure and setup, because you have everything in one unified tool, which is different from some of the other tools in the industry. Mm-hmm. But then goes into how do you use the schematics, how do you create libraries, how do you do various different kind of design styles, and how does Ultium react to that or empower you to do that? And then it also goes into PCB design. How do you create a PCB? How do you utilize those tools? How do you push the content from schematics into your PCB? And then how do you take the PCB content when it's completed and generate the files that you could send to a manufacturer? So that's all in the Essentials course. The Advanced course starts to get into some more of the advanced features within the tool that you don't necessarily need to use. There are other ways to do, but these definitely improve your design speed and can reduce your design time cycle. And so that gets into design rules, how to do differential pair routing, how to do length tuning. If you're doing maybe like a DDR memory or something else that requires some very specific timing requirements, you can use X signals. There's teardrops. There's other tools and subsections within Ultium that are used for more of that advanced design style, but also can benefit other users to improve, like I said, the amount of time it takes them to do a design.
Well, we're excited to see your training. And again, thank you so much for, you know, lending your time and talent, because I do think that people will really appreciate what you're doing formally and informally. So thank you again, Thomas. As we wrap up here, I thought it would be useful to talk about, you know, something I've admired about you is how you have taken your own education by the horns, right? And now you have your own company. And so it's not like you have a big budget for a big company to go invest, you know, in COVID or out of COVID, whether it's virtually or in person. So, you know, and like you said, most designers are working more than 8-hour days, right, to do these kind of things. So how do you, obviously you've found time and you're a busy guy. How do you find time to continue to invest in your own education and stay on top of it? And as well, we were just talking about how you're mentoring the University of Waterloo's robotics team. Where do you get this time, and what's your advice for other busy design engineers to keep sort of investing in their own education and ongoing training?
You hit the nail on the head. You definitely need to take your training and your development into your own hands. And if where you're working, whether that's a company or your own company or a contract, if there's the ability to have them assist you with your training, that's fantastic. I know I've been at places that are able to do that, and there are other places that are not able to do that. And so you really need to seize that opportunity, and some of that means that it falls into your own personal time. Unfortunately, with COVID, one of the best things I think that used to happen in the office was those 30-second conversations in the hallway.
Yes.
That suddenly devolve into a 3-hour explanation of how something happens in a PCB or how you use a specific part of a tool. And having that connection is ultimately one of the reasons why I am mentoring the University of Waterloo robotics team. Mm. Because seeing how other designers and other tool users use the tool, you can suddenly go, wait, what did you just do? I've never used a tool like that. Show me again, because that's something that will benefit me and help me get better at my mm-hmm. my tool set and my operation. And so, you know, but another part of that is also what I'd call playing with your tool. We always talk about, and we look to the industry experts to understand how to design a printed circuit board. And that is very, very valuable knowledge. But you also have to, as a designer or an engineer, you have to be able to understand, how do I use the tool to create that final good design? And are the things within the tool, exactly like I said, if you see somebody else do something you've not seen before, is there ways to optimize your workflow? Yes, in the immediate term, You know, if I take one Friday a month, one Friday afternoon a month to look at the tool, ultimately that is 4 hours on a Friday afternoon for that month that has now been, in essence, wasted. But if I find something that's useful or can improve my design flow, that now is applicable to every single design after that time period. So yes, it may only save me 10 minutes, but if it saves me 10 minutes every Friday over the course of a year, that's 520 minutes, and that's just in 1 year. So right. You really need to kind of look at that. And a good example of this was I was working at a company, and the way they were doing their silkscreen was they were clicking and placing each individual designator for each individual component. Within Altium, if you select multiple components, you can then select the designator, and there's the option to align the text, you know, top right, top left, center below, center above. And very quickly, if you see a whole bunch of components that need to be done the same way, a few mouse clicks, and instead of taking you, you know, half an hour to do it, you've done it in 30 seconds. And same thing, that now builds up over every single project that you're going and working on. So within the tool, you have to spend time doing that. Outside of the tool, there's obviously a lot of other resources that mm-hmm. are really great to kind of go and rely on. There's industry events that are going on. I'm really excited this year for PCB East is happening again, which is going to be great. There's also PCB West, Design Con, and Embedded World. But if you're not able to travel and go to an event like that, you can look closer to home. There's industry magazines and trade associations. You can find a lot of content on YouTube. You can find a lot of content on your guys' website on how to use different sections of the tools. And some of those trade associations as well, like EPTEC, IPC, and the newly formed PCEA are great areas that you should try and get involved in. So you can access some of those industry leaders, and because everybody's wanting to help you succeed.
Yeah, I think you found out, you and I have both been involved on the executive board of PCEA, and it's really fun to watch someone like you come into these ranks, Thomas, and quickly, you know, have people like Rick Hartley, Mike Creedon, Susie Webb giving away, you know, their knowledge and lifting you up. It's been really fun to watch. And people don't realize that these people are accessible through these different organizations, through conferences like Altium Live or PCB East and West. And so I really encourage everyone to do the same. Thomas and I are on the same page along these lines. I've also heard some of those same people I just mentioned say, own your own education. So you're in good company there. Well, Thomas, it's time for us to wrap up. For our listeners, I want to make sure you know, as I said earlier, I'm going to put a bunch of links below to all these places. So feel free to poke around, explore, and plug into some of the resources that Thomas has talked about. Any closing thoughts before I let you go, my friend?
Just take time to explore and to be creative and realize that yes, your education is in your own hands, but you know, you're the one that's got to do that and make it fun. If you can have that chance to do some time to explore, whether it's an education aspect or a tool learning aspect, it doesn't apply just to Altium Designer. It applies to, you know, are the ways you can optimize the Microsoft Word documents or Excel or other tools that you're using to accomplish your job. Go out and learn and try and definitely seize the day and seize your education and put it in your own hands.
I love it. What a great way to close. Thank you. So I'm going to let you go, Thomas. Thanks so much to our listeners for tuning in today. I hope you really enjoyed and got a lot of value out of this conversation between myself and Thomas Chester. And please check out the notes below. I'm sure you'll find a lot of value there. We will look forward to being with you next week. Until then, remember to like, subscribe, and please comment, because when you do, it helps our rankings raise and it helps us to continue to bring on great guests like Thomas Chester and more. So we'll see you next week. Until then, stay healthy, stay safe, and always remember to stay on track.